May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 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 Please do be seated. So next Sunday, we will start opening our Advent calendars. And as well as the permissible opportunity for a piece of chocolate every day, which is always welcomed, this usually gives us a little vision into a relevant image relating to this time of year. Some are quite secular with images focusing on Christmas trees, presents, food, reindeers, Santa, etc. And some have some more biblical reasoning behind them. They are slowly retelling the nativity story. And we have those wonderful images to imagine our presence in amongst those scenes. This is a very powerful way to enter into the season. It is a great beginning for us. In our Old Testament reading from Daniel today, and indeed in our New Testament reading from Revelation, we have images of the kingdom beyond this earthly realm, with a prophecy from Daniel of Jesus taking up his rightful throne, and in Revelation of Jesus having taken up his heavenly realm, the promise that he will return again to this earthly kingdom. Something in the future, when we do not know, of course. And we hear the words at the end of that reading from God reminding us. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So, well, here we are at the end of the church year, as I said at the beginning, at the end of our church calendar. And throughout this year, we'll have had all of our Bible stories, our hymns and our prayers. Throughout this year, we'll have begun by recounting the coming of Jesus as a baby to live amongst us. And we hear all the reasons why this happened, to save us from the fall of sin amongst us. We will have heard all of the things that Jesus preached about. Well, some of them, a small fraction of them, the things that he taught us, of the miracles he performed, of the devotion of all those that followed him, and of Jesus going to the cross and how that frees us all from the darkness of sin. And today we honour Jesus, having returned to heaven, where he takes up his rightful place on the throne as king. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells Pilate that his kingdom is not of this earthly world, but of the heavenly realm. And he will watch over us until he will return again. So next week, we restart the church year as we enter Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. Beginning and endings, they are very important. And it made me think about this. Why is it so important to mark these moments, the beginning and the ending? They can often be the most important for us to note. How we experience them can have a big impact on the thing which happens in between. I've mentioned sometimes before about the fact that I used to run a kindergarten with children aged 3 to 6 years. And the way they started the session was really important. How they felt that their mum, their dad, whoever brought them along, sometimes they left them happily, sometimes with a few tears. And then the knowledge that someone they knew would be picking them up was so important, it really affected the way they settled and enjoyed their time. And what about when we get a book, at the start of the book and the ending? They are often the most memorable bits. I know a person who will always read the last bit of a book before they will start reading it, because they want to know if it's going to have a good ending, and they want to sort of read all of that bit up to it. And how many of us at the moment are watching Strictly Come Dancing? And how often references made to the journey, looking at the beginning, how they started to where they are now. Their current endpoint is so to speak. The beginning and endings. And we all know that the journey to our holiday destination and the return journey home makes all the difference to not how only how we experience the holiday in the middle, but also to our memory of it. If the journey there and the journey back has been awful, the holiday gets completely wiped out. It is important in our day-to-day lives. And in the church, just this past week across the benefice, we've had a baptism of a baby, when we turn to God, to Jesus to be with us at the start of this earthly life, this earthly journey. And earlier in the week, I led a funeral when we reflected on the presence of God at this stage, the end of our earthly journey, beginnings and endings. So we come to the end of this church year. It is a time of reflection, looking back over the past year and looking forward to the new year, thinking what we've got up to as individuals and as a church here in Tindrick and across the benefice, and indeed looking wider across our Anglican church with all the things which are going on in it. So somebody did mention Stir Up Sunday. And interestingly, this Sunday is also called Stir Up Sunday. And it's just 5 weeks until the Sunday before Christmas Day. And it became the day when Victorians would traditionally make their Christmas pudding. This is what I've been reading about. Families would come together to mix the pudding, each member of the family taking a turn as the ingredients were mixed in. And I read that the pudding would be stirred from east to west in honour of the Magi, the wise men who came from the east, and 13 ingredients would be included to represent Jesus and the 12 disciples. Dried fruit, prunes, dates, etc., eggs, breadcrumbs, all of those bits. But also, maybe silver coins would be added. And if you found one of those, you'd be said to receive good health and wealth, etc. Unless, unfortunately, they broke a tooth. I can actually remember, we used to make the pudding, but I don't remember all of those little bits around it, but we would put in the silver coins and a thimble sometimes we put in or whatever. But this Stir Up Sunday did not originate really from the Christmas pudding tradition, but from the Book of Common Prayer, which predates our common worship that we have now, which is the tradition I was brought up in. And this special prayer for this Sunday, the collect of the day, for the last Sunday before Advent, the prayer starts, "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people." We will hear the prayer in full after our communion. When we have a post-communion prayer, I will slip that prayer in, so listen out for it. It's a time when we're recognising God, Christ our King, to stir up his faithful people, stir up our hearts to do your will. So this final day of the year, these powerful images of the heavenly King that we heard about in Daniel and in Revelation, they are intended to stir us up. The revelation that Jesus will return again, but we do not know when, that is to stir us up. And let us remember that Jesus spoke calmly, boldly to Pilate when he said that his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus, our King, who is steadfast, true, and just, he still is reigning over us from the heavenly realm. Just as we open our Advent calendars next week, today in our readings we've been invited into scenes that are not quite of this world. But we are welcome to see them, to visualise them, to reflect on them. And indeed, let them stir us up, to allow God to stir our wills, his faithful people, the Lord God who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega.